This is a collection of recordings I made with some of the world's most knowledgeable, well-known, and successful whitetail hunters on the planet. I know you're really going to enjoy and learn from the wisdom they share, along with their personal life and their walk with God. I hope you enjoy these classic conversations. Hey, from Chicago today, actually, not from the great state of Texas, I have Robert Hogue with me from bowhunting.net. Buddy, it is so good to have you here. What are you doing up in Chicago?
I'm meeting a couple of my buddies, and we're getting ready to go alligator hunting in Florida.
I just was reading on bowhunting.net, and you just came back recently from Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, how'd you do?
I went bear hunting with the same two guys that are going on the alligator hunt.
Man, you guys never slow down. I am so jealous. Now, you have been the founder and the web publisher for bowhunting.net since, is it 1996?
1996, I got the domain, yeah.
Yeah, and you guys have been the number one, been the number one bow hunting website since that year.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What made you create this website? I mean, what called you to do this?
Okay, in the quick version, if I can shoot that out, is in 1994, I got interested in the internet. There wasn't Windows 95 yet. I got on the internet by reading in some magazines, and the first thing I did was what a lot of bow hunters have done since then. I typed in bow hunting in a search engine, and there was exactly nothing. So I typed in hunting, and I got NRA, and they're not really a hunting site. So basically, there was nothing, and I had a magazine I remembered that I had that about the internet stuff, and I remembered seeing something from PETA. So I looked up the PETA site, went to it, and immediately I saw all these places that hate hunting, you know, links to them.
Right.
And I started just making a little, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 across boxes, and in very short order, I had over 200 of them.
Wow.
So here's over 200 places that hate us hunters, and none for hunting, and none for bow hunting. So I just couldn't have it. I mean, I started to, I knew how to make mail order catalogs, and I had done that for years, and it wasn't that much different. So I got on the internet, made a bow hunting site. I put it on Prodigy and then moved it to AOL. And then in 96, that was in 94, I started doing that. In 96, I got my own domain for bowhunting.net. And that was the beginning of something that's been very cool to me.
It's been pretty neat. I was reading you get about just almost a million unique hits on the site every year. That's a lot of traffic.
People. We get a lot more hits than that, a whole lot more. We get several million hits a month, but...
Wow. And you were talking about making the catalog. Your background, your grad school degree from the University of Dallas was in marketing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was a marketing guy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, I was going down through your Facebook profile, and it was kind of fun. You said you just want one more turkey grand slam.
Yeah.
A buck that's a little bigger than the last one, and just a little more money than you can spend.
Yeah.
What a great quote. Tell me, I asked you the other day, I said, are you just got your grand slam? And you said, oh, no. Tell them how many you've had.
I think I got 7.
7 grand slams.
All in the spring. Each one in the same spring.
Wow. Well, what's your favorite animal? I mean, we're going down through this. I mean, you're a writer. You're an outdoor photographer. You're an expert hunter. You got, what, over 25,000 pages on bow hunting and archery on your website.
Right.
And but when you think about all this, I mean, you get to work with a lot of these companies. I mean, part of your background is for marketing. These companies know that when they come to you, you are the biggest bow hunting website out there. So you have access to an incredible amount of companies and the latest products that are coming out on the market. And you know what works. You're out there hunting constantly. You're one of these guys that is putting all these things to the test. And with all the hunting and stuff you get to do, now you actually have a ranch too, don't you, in Texas?
Well, I've got a small place, but I also have a deer lease, and it's right across the fence of my small place. It's a 1,000-acre place, which to some is pretty good size, and to others is a small place. But it's a great deer hunting place.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite animal to hunt?
white-tailed deer.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to be a part of this, because I know I've been in several camps with you. I've been in Southern Illinois a few years ago. Actually, I was sitting over your shoulder, I think, three different times on that trip.
Oh, yeah.
93-degree heat.
Yeah.
And it was a drought.
45 feet up in a tree.
Oh, and I'm not kidding. Whoever's listening to this, we got to this one stand, and the platform was at least 30 feet. And I had to hang a stand above you to film you, so I know I was up over 40 feet just about with you. That was nuts.
It was pretty nuts, pretty scary.
But I've had a chance to hunt Ohio with you a number of times. Are you coming back this year?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, it'll be good to have you here. Guys, if you're listening to this, follow bowhunting.net. I know especially during the rut, any time of the year, you can follow bowhunting.net. But I know I'll see Robert over in southeastern Ohio, and he'll be posting stuff. See, one of the great things that Robert has access to is when he goes to these camps and writers' camps and all over, these guys every single day are coming back. You know, if they're bringing animals, or even if they're not harvesting animals, they're saying what they saw, what their deer were feeding on, what time of day they were moving, what the wind, everything. He's just like a plethora of information with really understanding how whitetails, you know, where they're bedding, where they're feeding, how they're moving. And so I know if you guys follow on bowhunting.net, you'll get a lot of great information.
You know, I've been lucky that I think that I really enjoy other people's hearing about other people's hunts and being told about it and taking people hunting, whatever. And it's just, that's been a very cool thing to me about bowhunting.net. I mean, there's a lot more people on there talking about their hunts than me. I mean, they're talking through me, but I'm really telling what happened to them. I'm telling what happened to myself too. But
well, you got a lot of stuff to share with us. One of your the things you had on your Facebook page was a Jimi Hendrix quote, and it says knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. And so we're listening, and we want to hear, because you have a lot of knowledge to share with us. So let's get started on this. If you were speaking to a novice hunter, it doesn't have to be a young kid. You know, we've been focusing some on kids because we're trying to get them back into the great outdoors, get them away from televisions and, you know, their iPods and all this stuff. But you have a lot of, you know, adults too that are wanting to get out in the outdoors. They're kind of getting tired of being in the city, and they want to get back to some of their roots maybe as a kid and get back to the woods. But maybe some of these guys are fathers didn't hunt, or they've just been away from it for a long time and they want to be successful. From what you've learned for the novice hunter, looking at that, what is something that you could pass on to the novice that could really be helpful in making him successful?
I think that the novice hunter, I think that it would be good to be patient. You know, don't get in a hurry. Everybody wants to run out and get the kill. They want to buy some product that's going to make it all happen for them. That's not as good as learning about the animals, about spending time in the woods. And I think that's really important. I mean, and if you can spend time in the woods more than just during hunting season, it'll just really enlighten you about, particularly about hunting deer. You know, deer, I've hunted deer since I was 15. And every year I learn a bunch of new stuff. It's like very cool.
I see you with your camera. You know, you when you go up in your tree stand, many times your bow just stays there. You're taking pictures of these animals and just really watching and studying them. And I think that's really good information, because when I was young, I wanted to charge through the woods. I didn't want to be patient. I wanted that first kill. I wanted to experience it. And I know some of the other guys I've been interviewing have said the same thing, that, you know, the kill is kind of anticlimactic. The big fun of the hunt is really getting out there, spending time in nature and studying the animals and really learning about them.
It's the hunt. The hunt. Yeah. It's what's fun.
Yeah. Okay, so you have another guy that's coming into your website, and you get a lot of guys that just are passionate, going to bowhunting.net or going to BowTube and watching some of these things, you know, these latest, greatest new products, whether it's bows or arrows or scent control or whatever. But you have a lot of experienced hunters. These guys have been doing it a long time and got a lot of animals. But what's something you could pass on to them that you've learned through your entire, since you were 15 years of age, that has made you successful? What kind of tips or tricks or secrets have you learned that you could pass on to them?
I mean, there's just so many tips, it just like makes my head swim. But I think I think one of the important things for a really experienced hunter is to keep an open mind. It's easy to go out there, you see some deer do this, and you decide, okay, well, all deer in those situations are going to do this. And it may not be true. You might be making up your mind a little early, and you try something, it doesn't work. It doesn't mean that it won't work, and it just means that it didn't work then. You know, it's there's two kinds of deer. There's all the deer except him. So you got the rest of the deer and you have him, and probably we're looking for him.
What about scent control? What do you do for yourself? Because you're on the ground, you're in blinds, and you're up in the tree stands. I mean, some of the stuff we cover on here is, you know, thermals, understanding mornings and evenings, the way that they shift from being up to going down, and exfoliated skin cells coming off. What do you do personally for your scent control?
Okay, I don't pay any attention to the thermals. What I do is I make sure that I'm clean. I wash every time before I go out. And if I'm deer hunting, we're talking about, right? I wash every time, every single time before I go out. And it doesn't matter where I am. If I'm someplace, I'm in Colorado or someplace where, in a remote camp, you can take a bath in a coffee cup. I mean, you've got to be clean and wash totally. A shower is the best thing. A shower is better than a bath. And I'm saying that because I can tell the difference when I'm particularly in a ground blind or hunting low. I like to hunt low. I can tell whether or not they smell me. And I do this. Did they smell me? Oh, yes, they did. Oh, okay, well, I'll do this. Did they smell me? Oh, no, they didn't, you know. So I think that washing your clothes in something that gets the scent out of them is, like, critical. It's, your clothes just get sweated up. It's just going to happen. And that's the smell that runs them off, you know.
Do you throw your clothes in the dryer, Robert, or do you hang yours out after you've washed them?
I throw them in the dryer. I used to hang them out, but now I throw them in the dryer. And I put them, I've got a big, like a trash barrel that really seals up tight. They have some products you can buy now that do this. I'm going to get one. But anyway, I just get something that seals up tight, and I put charcoal in the bottom of it.
Now, that's something that I haven't heard guys doing. Tell us about that a little bit.
I throw some charcoal briquettes in the bottom of it. I make sure I don't get the kind that light up right away. I don't want any kind of stuff in them or whatever. Dump some in there and throw the clothes in there.
And that absorb the odors from it, or...?
It seems to me. It seems that my clothes don't signal game that I'm there.
You know, I know over in Africa, and you've hunted there too, we used to burn zebra dung.
Yeah.
I still don't get that one. It's just kind of a nasty smell. But
I just think that's something that they started doing a long time ago. I really think that deer can differentiate between some bad smell and you.
I agree. You know, they always talk about, you know, a deer is a walking nose. And yeah. I get guys at these seminars coming up and saying, you know, what do you use to cover your scent? And I say, I don't. They say, what do you mean? Don't you use an oak wafer or pine or vanilla or something? And I'm saying, you got to believe that if a deer is a walking nose, he can differentiate not just, you know, one smell, but a half a dozen or a dozen or 50 smells going,
yeah,
boy, that's vanilla, that's oak, that's human.
Yeah. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I do too. But what about when you think about lessons you've learned, maybe even in the last 10 years, some things, because you have access to a lot of things that a lot of us don't have. We do now because of bowhunting.net, but a lot of secrets and tips, things you've learned in the last 10 years that have really changed maybe some of the ways that you've hunted that have made you more successful, not just in harvesting, but even just, because I know you take photographs constantly, being able to see deer. What are some lessons that you've learned that you could pass on?
Okay, a few years ago, ten years ago, a guy named Doug Crabtree came down to hunt turkeys with me. Now, at that point, I wasn't really that interested in turkeys, although I dumb-lucked into about a half a dozen of them over all the years. he had a double bull blind. I thought, oh, man. But I said, it's going to take a week to put that thing up. Well, we went out, and he got a gobble, and he put the thing up, and I had less than 10 seconds. We're ready to go. And I hunted in it, and I just saw how it just made you disappear inside it. And I just think it's an incredible product. I mean, and now they're not the only ones. They used to be the only ones. There's other kinds now. And it's just unreal how good it is. And I've used it hunting deer and hogs, and I've used it a lot to take pictures.
Now, I was hunting from a Matrix. No, it was the I've got a T5 sitting in my garage. It was the Dark Horse.
Yeah.
But we popped it up, and what was really amazing, we had a chance to watch a doe watching turkey. Because, you know, a turkey is a walking eyeball, you know, where a deer is a walking nose. And those two really would play off of each other. And I think that's something you talked about, maybe getting to know the animal and observing them. Being able to be in that blind and watch, there was actually, what we found out it was there was a coyote walking up a dried up creek bed. And both of them were watching one another, getting cues to where that coyote was. That was amazing.
Yeah, they pay attention to each other. You know, turkeys can run deer away. I've seen them, like, move up towards a deer and flap their wings on the ground and in the air and booger the deer.
Do you have any little secrets or things that you do if you get busted deer movement-wise? I know one of the things that I know Charlie Alzheimer was talking about was having a little diaphragm call, you know, you can put in your mouth. Maybe walking into the woods, doing some little feeding putts, and maybe if you get busted up in the tree, you know, do a little tree talking or something. Do you have any little things that you do, maybe going in or out of the woods or in your tree stand?
You know, I used to do a lot of things, and carry a squirrel call, and a turkey call, whatever. I don't do it anymore. I do less and less. I've been like a hard rattler and all kinds of stuff, but I just do less and less. I try to make my impact like as close to zero as I can in the area that I'm hunting. And I want to get to the stand. I don't want to make a lot of noise, but I don't want to take 30 minutes to tippy-toe in if I can do it in five.
Yeah, Bill Winky was talking about how important your entrance and even your exit at the end of the day is, because a lot of guys, you can do all these tricks in the world, but if you're busted, you're busted.
The thing about when, you know, getting busted is like you've got to go in and you just might spook some deer. You don't want to, but you might. But even more than that, when you leave, that's when your chances of spooking the deer are greater.
I was reading an article just about the other day about a guy saying when he goes to his tree stand, he really goes with purpose, because especially if you're in an area where deer are kind of used to hearing some people, they can tell the difference between someone who's just walking through the woods and trying to get through there, which they don't pay as much attention to, as opposed to someone who's tippy-toeing around in the woods who's acting like a predator.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, that was a really neat article. Maybe that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about why you do what you do, you kind of shared a little bit at the beginning about, you know, creating this website. There wasn't a whole lot of stuff except for people that didn't like hunters out there. As opposed to, you know, websites that really are promoting, you know, hunters and this sport we love. Why do you, besides creating it because of that, why do you do what you do? I mean, does that make sense the way I'm asking that?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I just was like, I just couldn't stand it that there wasn't bow hunting. It means a lot to me. And it has, you know, for a lot of years. And it's, I mean, I did it every year, went deer hunting, hunted other things, you know. And for it not to be on the internet, I just couldn't stand it. I'm serious. And so I started doing it. I worked out a formula. I really enjoyed talking about it and talking about my own hunts and other people's hunts. I don't know. It was like I was just driven into it, or, you know, maybe God pointed me to it or something. I don't know.
You know, I see you at all the shows, and you have your camera, and you're interviewing everyone. And I know that's part of your job. I mean, you created this website because you love it, and I think that's important, is you kind of are your employer. I mean, you created this out of your passion for it. It's not like someone said, hey, I need you to go and film, you know, 50 companies at ATA. You're doing it. Yes, it's. I'm sure it's something you're doing it because it helps. You know, obviously we all need something to pay the bills, but you created this out of your love for it.
It's a lot of fun going to them and getting all the new stuff and everything. It's a lot of work. You'd be surprised, but I just dig it.
Yeah. Buddy, I am so glad that you were able to do this. I know we've tried to get this interview a couple of times and trying outside of restaurants and from in cars and just crazy stuff. But if guys wanted to contact you to find out more, how would they reach you?
Okay. I have a partner, and his name is Rich Walton. And they'd have to get in touch with Rich. He does all, I do the stuff about the website, and Rich does the business. And it's a great partnership. He doesn't understand how to do the website, and I'm not near as good about the business part of it as he is. And so we have a great partnership.
Yeah, Rich, I had a chance to be at Deer Camp with you guys last year, and he's a great guy, really people person, really a good people person.
Anybody can contact me on Facebook.
Real quick before we get off here, what about BowTube? Where did that come from?
You know, quite a few years ago, I thought it'd be good to have a site that had videos, bow hunting videos. It was pretty hard to do, and it took a few years to work out and find the software and stuff that would do it. And I don't know. My vision of it was for people to be able to put their own videos up, you know. It's been kind of a hodgepodge of a whole bunch of different things. There's people, there's companies putting things in. There's individuals putting their hunts in. There's some pretty polished ones, and there's some pretty amateurish ones. And the amateurish ones are just as welcome as the polished ones. You know, and I put my stuff up, and I'm probably in the amateur quality, you know, category.
How would these guys, if they're out making their own videos, how would they submit them to BowTube?
They just go to BowTube.com, and it's got a little menu across the top, and they go to upload. They click on it. They have to get an account first, which they just sign up, give themselves a name, and then it doesn't cost anything, and they don't have to be approved or anything. It just does it for them. Then they can go to upload, and they upload their video. There's some things maybe about the video that they need to know, but like they can't put up a 2 gigabyte video or something. But I think it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, it is. I've had a couple on there before. I just love watching the videos.
There's pretty close to 1,000 videos in there.
So. Yeah, there's a lot on there. There really is. There's a lot of information. I know it kind of goes with the season a lot of times. The guys are putting up turkey stuff for turkey season and you know, again, bear for bear season, whatever. Hey, where are you headed to next? You said you're doing gator hunting. Where are you headed for that?
Florida.
Florida. And then after that, what's your next hunt?
I'm going to go home. And I won't be home but 2-3 days, and whitetail deer season will start.
Yeah, it's coming in real quick. Where are you going to hunt this year?
I want to hunt home, and then I'm going to go to Ohio to hunt with Wade and you. And then I've got another place to go in Ohio. And then I've got an invite to go to West Virginia, two different invites. So I think I'm going to try to work both those in. And if I don't get one in Ohio, I've got a place that I can go in Ohio, and I might go double back there too.
Well, it'll be good to see you. And Robert, thank you so much for your time and doing this. I know you're an extremely busy man, and a lot of the knowledge that I wish we could talk for hours, because I know how much information you could pour out to these guys. But what we can't cover here, guys, go to bowhunting.net. There's just more information than you could ever take in. I mean, it is so much there. And Robert, I'm glad you had this vision to do it, because for all of us out there that not just like hunting, bow hunting, but love hunting in general, guys like you that are passionate about the sport, who have really taken this under their wing and treated it the way I believe it needs to be treated, with respect and with absolutely no shame whatsoever. This is a great sport that we have, and if it wasn't for hunters buying tags and everything, we wouldn't be able to have the game management that we have today. And so...
Right.
I want to, you know, keep hunting for truth. I'll see you in the woods here coming up, and just we're just all just a little over a month away, and guys, be following it, and we'll see you in the woods.
All right,
all right. You take care, buddy.
Okay, Brent.